Christ the Lord is risen today. Good morning, dear Waynesboro Bible Church. Easter is finally here. And the good news is that the message of Easter is still relevant, still fresh, still full of hope. The message has not changed in 2,000 years. That's because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can rejoice in that great news. May God bless you on this day of celebration of Christ's resurrection from the dead. I would like to begin today by reminding you of our Bible verses for the month of April. It comes from John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The same power that Jesus called upon to raise Lazarus from his grave is the same power that raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, and it is the same power that gives us the resurrection of victory over death. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because he lives. Let's begin today with a time of prayer. Lord, we want to praise your name for the glorious hope we have because of Easter, because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he lives, we know that we have hope for eternity. We pray for those who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that they too can be saved. I pray that they would tune in to some biblical broadcasting during this Easter season and listen carefully to the unchanging message of how Jesus became the sacrifice for our sins and the Savior of all who trust in him. Lord, I pray for those that are still infected with COVID-19, for those in the path of possible infection, for those nursing homes where staff and patients are infected or at risk of being infected. I pray for a family in our church who has a relative in one of those nursing homes. Lord, I pray that this COVID-19 will come to an end. I pray that medical professionals who are working hard to treat those who are infected will find strength and help from you, from your hand. I pray for all the medical personnel working hard to find a cure or a vaccine. And Lord, I pray for the urgent need for medical supplies, doctors, nurses, first responders. I pray, Lord, for all those areas that are hot spots, including parts of Pennsylvania. And I want to pray for our church family. Father, for those that are grieving over the loss of a loved one again this week, I pray for this new family who's lost a loved one and who's gone home to be with the Lord, that you would comfort them, strengthen them, encourage them, abide with them, and be their peace. I pray for those who are sick, those who are suffering, for those who are in loneliness or despair. I pray, Lord, for our missionary family. I pray again for Dr. Fred Whitman that he will find grace and strength in his age of 90 plus years. I pray, Lord, for those working in areas where COVID-19 is still rampant, our missionaries on the mission field still dealing with a lot of difficulties because of the coronavirus. And Lord, I pray for those family members and loved ones, friends and neighbors who have no hope today, no Easter joy. They are without God and without hope in this world. I pray that they again will hear the message of salvation. I pray, Lord, that they would be saved. Lord, I can't help but think that during this Easter season would be a perfect time for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back again, to return for his church. I pray for those who are not ready to go and meet him in the air, that they would hear about his saving grace. And I want to praise you, God, again for your great love, that amazing grace by which we are saved, and the priceless gift of eternal life. We thank you for all that you're doing for us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your goodness to us, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This Easter season, our hearts are saddened because we are not able to get into church and celebrate Easter together. We're not able to meet in the cemetery and have a sunrise service rejoicing in the fact that Jesus arose from the dead. And yet we know that you are Lord and Savior, and we thank you and praise you for all that you have done for us, including going to the cross and paying for our sins with your blood on the cross, being buried and rising again from the dead the third day, and then ascending into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the finished work of salvation, the finished work of the cross, for the hope that we have, the promise that we have of eternal life through you. We ask all these things and give you the thanks for all things that you're doing. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Today I'd like to bring a message to you called The Best News the World Ever Had. It comes from John chapter 20. I'd like to use the scripture John chapter 20 today. Verses 1 through 21, it's the Easter story from John's point of view. It gives us many of the details that other of the gospel writers left out. Some of the other gospel writers include details that John leaves out. But from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, we get a good picture of what happened that first Easter morning in a cemetery just outside the gates of Jerusalem. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth with that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Father, once again we ask that you would just bless this time together. Folks that are listening to this message, I find that they might find great encouragement and hope. For those who may be listening and have not accepted Christ as their Savior, may this Easter be a time of resurrection for them as well. Resurrection by rising from the spiritually dead to spiritual life through Jesus Christ, by trusting in the Lord Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross, they can have eternal life as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know a lot of you are a little sad today because it is Easter, and you are probably sitting in your home. Certainly you're not in church. We wish we could be in church, but in God's time that will take place. But it just doesn't seem natural. In many ways it really doesn't seem like Easter. But you know, Easter should be celebrated every single day of the year because Jesus is alive. Everything feels out of place when you can't be in church on Sunday, especially on Easter Sunday. Some of you look forward to attending the Easter sunrise service, and I know that was a disappointment. I was talking to a fellow pastor this week who said he was thinking about something he never thought about before, and that was how much our Sundays mark the beginning of a new week. We get up and get ready and go to church on Sunday. We begin the new week, as we should, with worship. Then we get up on Monday and start our routine all over again. Whatever that might be. Some of you are retired, some of you are working, but you still have a regular routine that you go through. But without that time marker, that Sunday being in place, everything else just seems to run together. Sunday doesn't seem like Sunday, and then Monday comes and it doesn't seem like Monday, and Tuesday comes and it doesn't seem like Tuesday, and then by Wednesday you're having a hard time even remembering what day of the week it is. And soon every day just runs together, and our sense of order and routine is all out of skelter. We have trouble remembering what day it is. We even have trouble remembering what week it is. I was listening to the story of Corrie ten Boom recently, and it was the same in the Nazi prison camps during World War II. Every day was the same. There was no time allowed for worship on Sunday or any other day. They soon lost track of what day of the week it was, what week of the month, and eventually even what month of the year. The orderly cycle that was designed by God has been disturbed, and we feel the effects of it. We need that. Even when we're not able to come together and worship in our normal way, it's important that we set Sundays aside. Come before the Lord, be still and know that He is God, and spend time alone with Him. Well, the message today is, again, the best news the world ever had. We've heard a lot of news these past several months, haven't we? We talked about that two Sundays ago, how it's important to guide our thoughts away from all the bad news we're constantly hearing every day and night. News about the coronavirus, news about the economy, news about politics. We need to focus on the good news that God is in control and His plan is to save us. Listen to Paul's word to the Galatians in chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. That's an Easter message right there when you think about it. Our Lord and Savior gave himself for our sins. That's exactly what he did on the cross of Calvary just 3 days before Easter. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us, that he might rescue us. The word literally means to rescue the perishing. He gave himself for our sins that he might save us. And did you catch the part about being according to the will of God and our Father? Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might save us according to the will of God. You see, God has a plan. What did Jesus teach his disciples to pray? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The thought for the subject of our message today came to me as I was scanning through my huge file of Easter sermons and illustrations that I've collected over the years. My eyes stopped on one page of illustrations I had saved from April 2000. In big letters in the center of the page were the words, "The best news that the world ever had came from a graveyard near Jerusalem." That's a tremendous thought when you think about it, and it's so true. The best news that the world ever had came from a graveyard near Jerusalem. And to sum up that news in just two words, he's alive. He's alive. Before his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus declared his almighty name to Martha, saying, "I am. I am the resurrection and the life, the great I am." That, my dear friends, is why he's alive. Or in the words of Luke's account of the gospel, "The Lord is risen indeed," Luke 24:34. And since this is the best news the world ever had, the thought occurred to me, let's look at John's account of the first resurrection morning and see if we can discover some headlines to support this best news. Well, actually, I'm only going to have time to look at two headlines this morning, but the first one is a very important one. It's one that may tell us where we stand when it comes to the best news the world ever had. The first headline, I think you might find this a little bit astonishing. If you were to pick up the newspaper today and read these three words, this three-word headline, you might be a little surprised. But my headline is, "Jesus is missing." Jesus is missing. Well, I get that from John chapter 20, verse 2. "Then she," that is Mary Magdalene, "runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." That would have been alarming news for the unbelieving Jews. The one whom they thought had been an impostor, a false prophet, someone professing to be the Messiah, the one they had sought to destroy and to get rid of once and for all, he's missing? How would they explain that to the public? How would that look on their reputation of being the ones in charge of religious affairs in Israel? Even Mary Magdalene, she was bewildered, not understanding what had taken place. Her confusion is expressed in her words. "They have taken away the Lord. We know not where they have laid him." Now, let's just suppose for a moment that you and I were there among the disciples, the believers, at that time. Let's put Our imagination caps on and travel back to the first century AD. How would we have responded to that headline, "Jesus is missing"? We believed that he was the Messiah. We were familiar with the scriptures. We knew they predicted that he would rise from the dead. Why, even Jesus himself had told us that this was going to happen. As recorded by Matthew, he said, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." That's Matthew 16:21. But that's not the only time that Matthew recorded Jesus saying this. In Matthew chapter 17, it says, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." That was two times. But it doesn't stop there. If we go over to Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 20, we read, "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." Three times before the crucifixion, Jesus predicted and told his disciples that he would rise from the dead. That was Matthew. Mark records those same three announcements. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Mark chapter 9, verses 31 and 32, and Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. Luke records those same three announcements. And then, in Luke 24, 46, Jesus refers to the prophecies concerning his resurrection from the dead. It says, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." That's a prophecy. Psalm 16 is one of those places where Christ's resurrection is predicted. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," or that is, in the grave, "neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption," that is, to remain dead forever. And when Paul was in Thessalonica, it says, "As his manner was, he went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." Again, with all that being said, how would you have responded to that headline, "Jesus is missing"? Would your faith have been shaken, or would it have remained strong? Would you have been filled with stress, or would you have been filled with sheer joy, saying like Job, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth"? Well, maybe it's not a fair question. You say, "But we have so much more information now. We have all those eyewitnesses who saw Jesus after his resurrection. We have 19 centuries of believers believing in Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ." We see things from a very different perspective, and that's true. Those things are true, but the question remains, do you believe it? Do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? The Bible says that that is essential for being saved, to believe that God has raised him from the dead. Well, over in John chapter 11, our verses for the month, you remember Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And then he asked her, "Do you believe this? Do you believe, Martha?" Do you believe, dear friend, what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:20? When he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." Do you believe he has saved you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's important information. That's an important headline because it asks the question, is Jesus missing? Or is he alive? Does he live? And if he does he live in your heart? Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Well, taking a brief look at our second headline from this passage, I find it in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 21. Now, I've really gone out on imagination's limb for this one, but here's my headline. Extraterrestrial peace promised by Earth's creator. How would you like to see that in a newspaper? After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and verse 19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Peace. Jesus then confirmed that it was really true. He really was alive. He showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then again in verse 21, he repeats the promise. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Extraterrestrial peace promised by Earth's creator. It's extraterrestrial because it's simply out of this world. It's not from this world, it's from God. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In John 16:33, two chapters later, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The world is in turmoil today because of the coronavirus. But the Christian should be at peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be today that you are a Christian, you know that you are saved, but still you're experiencing some fear, some anxiety over all that's going on. You may be finding yourself troubled over the bad news headlines of what is taking place in our world. Or as we sometimes hear people say, "I'm not afraid of death, but I'm not looking forward to the dying part." I want to encourage you today, put your trust fully in the Lord's power to keep you and protect you. Trust God that His will for your life and well-being is in His hands. Trust Him that even if you should pass through the valley of the shadow of death, He will be right there with you, just like He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Do you remember the doxology at the end of the short epistle of Jude? It goes like this: "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless from before, excuse me, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Our God is a faithful God, and he is able to keep you. If you're still having trouble trusting him, I'd like to challenge you to take an index card or just a piece of paper and write the words, God is able to keep you. Put the word able and the word keep in all capital letters. Put it on your kitchen sink or on your refrigerator door. You remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den, right? King Darius, or Darius, depending on which person you listen to, King Darius rushed to the lion's den, you know, the next morning after Daniel was put in the lion's den, and he cried down into the lion's den, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel then called up to the king and he says, My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. Psalm 91 verse 11 promises, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Back to Daniel 6 verse 23 declares, So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Because he believed in his God. I know that if you are a Christian today, you want people to know you as a person who believes in his or her God. Let's remember the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Back in the 1970s and 80s, there was a Christian magazine called The Spire. Dave Kimberly was one of the editors, and this is what he had to say about celebrating Easter. I quote, There is no event in all of human history which is more stunning or more revolutionary than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Truly, if Jesus did rise from the dead, then we have good news to proclaim from the rooftops. If he did not, then we are the sorriest of all people, for we have believed in a falsehood. Happily, such is not the case. There is still God's word which speaks to our lives and to the world. While Easter is a special occasion that we celebrate only once a year, I feel that it is an event that we should celebrate every single day. As we live in Christ, we arise renewed every day. As we live in Christ, we experience Him and the power of His resurrection every day. We are blessed to have every aspect of our lives anointed by the good news that has been proclaimed to us. Let's rejoice, dear folks. He's alive. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the true meaning of Easter, that Jesus Christ didn't just come to this world and die on the cross, but he did that with a purpose. He did that according to the will of God, because you had a plan, and your plan is to save men from their sins. That men, women, boys, and girls can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Father, I pray today that if there's anyone in the hearing of our voice that needs to be saved, that they would call upon the name of the Lord, that they would put their trust in Him today. That he would save them, that he would be their Savior. And Father, I pray that everyone who has put their trust in you, everyone who has claimed the name of Jesus Christ, that they would experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. May those headlines from John's Gospel ring true in our ears today. Even though, by all appearances in the world today, and all that's going on, the headlines could very easily read, Jesus is missing. But we know he's not missing. We know he is alive. We know that Jesus Christ is in the world today. We know that he lives and he walks with us and he talks with us a long life's way. We know that we have the promise that he has gone to prepare a place for us, and he's coming to receive us into himself, that where he is, we might be also. We know that that promise of coming and getting us and taking us there could take place any moment. It could be today. Oh, if today on Easter Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ could come for his church, that would be a wonderful thing. And I pray that we might each have peace knowing that. And we also have peace in our heart and joy in our soul, because as we celebrate Easter today, we know Jesus came to the world, died on the cross, he was buried in a tomb, but it didn't end there. 3 days later, Christ arose. Christ arose. And Jesus Christ came out of that tomb victorious over sin and death and Satan. And because of that, we have extraterrestrial peace with the Creator of the world. Thank you for these truths. And Lord, bless us today with your hand upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God's blessing be upon you, folks, as you enjoy celebrating Easter. Remember, Jesus is coming again. God bless you.